The following is a class given by His Holiness Jaya Bhataka Swami on June 4th, 1990 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class contains excerpts from the Nectar Devotion, chapters 6, 12, 13, and 18, and was about that the devotees should consider Mathura as their eternal home.
We have mentioned the first of the primary 10 regulative principles. Then come the secondary 10 regulative principles, and added to these are 44 activities. So altogether there are 64 items for discharging the regulative practice of devotional service. Out of these 64 items, 5 items, namely worshipping the deity, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating among the devotees, Sankirtan, and living in Mathura are very important. So out of all the 64, the top 5, the fifth is living in the holy land. The execution of devotional service during Urja Vrata in the month of Kartika is especially recommended to be performed in Mathura. The system is still followed by many devotees. They go to Mathura or Vrindavana and stay there during the month of Kartik specifically to perform devotional services during this period. In the Padmapurana it said, the Lord may offer liberation and material happiness to a devotee, but after some devotional service has been executed, particularly in Mathura during the month of Kartik, devotees want only to attain pure devotional service unto the Lord. The purport is that the Lord does not award devotional service to ordinary persons who are not serious about it, but even such unserious persons who execute devotional service according to the regular principles during the month of Kartik and within the jurisdiction of Mathura in India are very easily awarded the Lord's personal service. Living in Mathura. In the Padma Purana, there's a statement about the importance of living at holy places, like Mathura or Dwarka. It is stated there, quote, to travel to different places of pilgrimage means to attain emancipation from material bondage. This emancipation, however, is not the highest perfectional stage. After attaining this liberated stage, one has to become engaged in devotional service to the Lord. After attainment of the Brahma-Bhuta liberation stage, one can further advance to engagement in loving service. So this attainment of transcendent loving devotional service to the Lord is the goal of life, and it can be achieved very easily for one who lives in Mathura Mandala, even for a few seconds. It is further said, quote, who is that person who will not agree to worship the land of Mathura? Mathura can deliver all the desires and ambitions of the fruitive workers and the salvationists who desire to become one with the Supreme Brahman. Certainly Mathura will deliver the desires of the devotees who simply aspire to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Unquote. In the Vedic literature it is also stated, quote, how wonderful it is that simply by residing in Mathura even for one day, one can achieve a transcendental loving attitude toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This land of Mathura must be more glorious than Vaikuntha Dhamma, the kingdom of God. Kripa Goswami has stated that 5 kinds of devotional activities, namely residing in Mathura, worshipping the deity of the Lord, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, serving a devotee and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, so potent that a small attachment for any one of these 5 items can arouse devotional ecstasy even in a neophyte. Again, Srila Rupa Goswami has described, Mathura Mandala, I remember the Lord standing by the banks of the Jamuna River, so beautiful amid the Kadamba trees, where many birds are chirping in the gardens, and these impressions are always giving me transcendental realization of beauty and bliss. Unquote. This feeling about Mathura Mandala and Vrindavana described by Rupa Goswami can actually be felt even by non-devotees. The places in the 84 square mile district of Mathura are so beautifully situated on the banks of the river Jamuna that anyone who goes there will never want to return to this material world. These statements by Rupa Goswami are factually realized descriptions of Mathura and Vrindavana. All these qualities prove that Mathura and Vrindavana are situated transcendentally. Otherwise, there would be no possibility of invoking our transcendental sentiments in these places. Such transcendental feelings are aroused immediately and without fail after one arrives in Mathura or Vrindavana. In these statements about devotional service, sometimes it may appear that the results have been overestimated. But actually there is no overestimation. Some devotees, as revealed scriptures give evidence, have had immediate results by such association, although this is not possible for all. For example, the Kumaras immediately became devotees simply by smelling the incense in the temple. Vilmangal Thakur simply heard about Krishna and then immediately gave up his beautiful girlfriend and started out for Mathura and Vrindavana, where he became a perfect Vaishnava. So these statements are not overestimations, nor are they stories. They are actual facts, but are true for certain devotees and do not necessarily apply to all. These descriptions, even if considered overestimations, must be taken as they are in order to divert our attention from the fleeting material beauty to the eternal beauty of Krishna consciousness. And for a person who is already in contact with Krishna consciousness, the described results are not unusual. Attraction for living in a place where Krishna has his pastimes. In the book Padyavali by Rupa Goswami, there is the following statement about Vrindavana. In this place, the son of Maharaj Nanda used to live with his father, who was king of all cowherd men. In this place, Lord Krishna broke the card in which the Sakata Asura demon was concealed. In this place, Damodar, who can cut the knot of our material existence, was tied up by his mother Yasoda. The pure devotee of Lord Krishna resides in the district of Mathura or Vrindavana and visits all the places where Krishna's pastimes were performed. At these sacred places, Krishna displayed his childhood pastimes with the cowherd boys and Mother Yasoda. The system of circumambulating all these places is still current among devotees of Lord Krishna, and those coming to Mathura and Vrindavana always feel transcendental pleasure. Actually, if someone goes to Vrindavana, he will immediately feel separation from Krishna, who performed such nice activities when he was present there. When it talks about attachment to Krishna, sometimes it's imitating attachment, which is shadow or transcendental. When he explains that such shadow attachment or para attachment can develop if one associates with a pure devotee or visits holy places like Vrindavan or Mathura. And if an ordinary man develops such attachment for Krishna and fortunately performs devotional service in the association of pure devotees, he can also rise to the platform of pure devotional service. The conclusion is that transcendental attachment is so powerful that such attachment is seen manifested even in some common man by the association of a pure devotee that can bring one to the perfectional stage. But such attachment for Krishna cannot be invoked in a person without his being sufficiently blessed by the association of pure devotees. There's quotes in the Bhagavatam that say wherever Lord Krishna exists, that's also, he always is in Vrindavan. So where there is Krishna, there is Vrindavan. So by living in the temple of Krishna, one is also living in Vrindavan. Scriptures say that not different from Vrindavan is Mayapur, Navadvipa, which is Gupta Vrindavan. In fact, there is some special feature because Lord Chaitanya doesn't consider offenses in Navadvipa. Where in Vrindavan, one has to avoid offenses very carefully. So it's not that one should be careless and not a defect. The Lord is the merciful. There are many glorifications that one should physically live in the Holy Dham or live in separation of the Holy Dham. One should consider that's my eternal home. That we don't belong to the material world, it's a temporary state. We belong to the spiritual world. We belong to the spiritual world. Mathura is Vrindavan, Mayapur, and Navadvipa are expansions from the spiritual world. Living in the temple is also like that, like living in the temple. But it's a little smaller, like the temple. When you walk out, you might be right there in Maya.
Does that mean that just living here, I mean, it's just like living in Maya for some of you get 100 times the benefit, you know, but anything else to go to India, you can just do it.
We get spiritual benefit by living in the temple, Krishna. Prabhupada still wanted his devotees to attend the Mayapur festival. You get 10,000 times or more benefit. Much more than that also. Living in the temple as compared to living outside in the material world.
And then Mayapur is that much about living here?
Huh? Robert said you get 10,000 times or 1,000 times a year more benefit rendering your devotional service to mindfulness. So that's compared to rendering devotional service in other places. But what's the actual like benchmark compared with which place? Compared to New York City or Atlanta or New Orleans? And it's kind of a generalization. But those people who preach in very difficult, like preaching in China or Muslim countries, some heavy risk, also especially mostly for other reasons, for taking risks for Krishna, serving the holy dham, especially most because it's Krishna's vow, so you feel more separation, feel a connection with Krishna. Yes?
If Krishna is not different from His holy name, what does it mean to serve Krishna in separation?
The devotee is desiring to be with Krishna, directly to be able to serve Krishna. When the devotee chants the Harinam, then they feel some relief, because in the holy name Krishna's presence is there, but at the same time that's coupled with a desire to be able to serve Krishna more intimately. The two combine. They don't contradict each other. We are addressing it from some like an intellectual point of view. Intellectually you can understand that although you're feeling separation from Krishna, wanting to be with Him, so you're chanting His name, because name is not different, that gives you relief. At the same time, because in the name, whether you're getting relief on one level, another level, your desire to associate with Krishna increases more and more. You don't get satiated. It's not like you ate too many ice creams and can't eat anymore. The desire to serve Krishna goes on increasing. So when you chant more, you're feeling some relief, but there's still the desire is increasing more and more. So finally Krishna also may appear out of His own sweet hopes to His devotees. We chant Hare Krishna in separation. It's the same. That even by chanting the holy name, one gets purified. When Vishnu appeared at the yajna of Daksha after all the problems were solved, then Daksha glorified that just by chanting your name, a person gets purified. What to speak when you're personally present. Of course, we know that the name is also not different from the Lord, but still, the full form of the Lord has got some special reciprocation you can do. Like Rupa Goswami, he was praying, wishing he had millions of ears and thousands of tongues and millions of ears to glorify the holy name, to hear the nectar of the holy name. 2 ears and one tongue was not enough for him to chant Hare Krishna. Is that clear? Yes?
Srila Prabhupada, I have 2 small questions. One is the Ekadashi book, Bone 5, and then the second question is, at Murari last Sunday, we had the presence of a Buddhist monk, and he came in and he wanted to chant their mantra, it's in language. And I'm wondering if that would have been offensive.
He wanted to chant his Pali mantra?
Right.
But the Padmini mantra, which one?
Padmini? He didn't say which one.
In the temple?
In the temple.
I don't know. It's all non-devotional chants. Kadasi book was originally compiled by a disciple of, or godbrother of Srila Prabhupada in Bengali, gathering together the different karmakanda. Primarily karmakanda, I won't say all, but primarily karmakanda, some mukti, liberation also, from the different Puranas. So that was translated by someone, and then Balaram published it under his name. I don't know really what part he had to play in it. But the book is actually a translation of the Bengali book. So far that I know, it's exactly exact. Because that same book is published in Bengali. I don't think it gave any credit to him. It wasn't like he did all the compilations. It's always evolved. It's a little like pages and... Yeah. I don't know in the book if they gave credit to them. Did he give credit to them?
No.
So, I don't know how true the translation was from the original. But assuming that it was most likely basically true stories from the Puranas, these things happen. But these may be good impetus for the non-devotees to observe a Kadasi. It'd be a good book to give a friend of Krishna or some congregational person who's interested in
doing something easy to get a little benefit. And all right from there, all the... Oh yeah, you can get a lot of food as a result of the medicine. That's the whole book.
That's what I'm saying. That's what the book has, kind of that food is kind of aspect to it. Like, do this and get this.
It's presented because these things actually happen on those ecstasies. These are like, that's how they got the name. That encourages the non-devotees to start to glorify Govinda, worship on ecstasy. But once I asked about the special, like it says in Kartik, 100 times more benefit by practicing devotional service in Kartik, or in Ekadasi you get more benefit. Prabhupada explains, like in a big department store, they have their regular customers who are coming anyway. So when they have a sale on, it's not to just bring the regular customers, it's to attract new customers. So they said these ways that Krishna, his regular, the dedicated devotees, they're getting them themselves, and whether sale or not, they're regular customers. But it's for attracting new customers. There may be some friend of Krishna, like in that it says that if you observe vegetarianism in the month of Kartik, you get 100-time benefit. Everyone should actually, it's very strict, you should really follow it, and that, at least that month, maybe whatever, but at least that month you should follow. So because you get so many benefit by observing that month, so then it may induce many people to follow at least vegetarianism for 1 month. And then if they follow for 1 month eating prasadam, some may stick on. They may also become regular. If not, you know, they benefit.
Well, I have a question regarding, we call this a technical point. How many transformations the brain has to have before, you know, it's not brain anymore? For example, if the brain is transformed into oil, corn oil is used for preparation. Is that, you know, within the ecstasy or it's not? What about, you know, corn sugar and byproducts of the
brain? In India, for instance, or mustard oil, mustard is considered a grain as well as sesame. It's one of the panchasasyas that are used in fire sacrifice as grain. So the oil of mustard is used by, you know, well, that the Bengalis like that oil. All Vaishnavas don't use it so much. But even the Bengali Vaishnavas, they use it. In all the temple, they use daily mustard oil. You do that habit. But even at Gaudiya Math and Ekadasi, they use ghee. They don't use mustard. So that means that if you're crushing grain to get the oil, then they won't use that grain, that oil, on the ecstasy. Because it's a direct grain derivative. It's the grain that's the... So the grain or any part of it shouldn't be taken on the ecstasy.
About the corn sweeteners?
Corn syrup, corn oil...
We were discussing this morning.
That's right. We missed...
From the manufacturer of corn sweetener, you should get a written statement that no grain is used in that. No corn grain is used...
Huh? That's when you said, if one grain falls, right, because they use the stalk, right? You don't use the grain.
Yeah, but at what stage they use the stalk? They do the whole thing? Grain is still there? Like they just crush the whole thing when the grain is there?
What is one grain there and spit out?
No, if it's... At what stage of the plant I'm crushing it? If it's just before the seeding? Or during the seeding? After the harvesting of the seed? The technical plant, you know.
Well, while the workers in the plant was eating a sandwich at lunchtime, they wash his hands. So that is all avoid all these ultimate because we can't do it.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, we don't type of things you can eat, so sometimes you have to ask the manufacturer. Some ice creams have eggs, you know, things like that. These are not offering, this is just, you know, trying to avoid the... If someone knows about the process, you can easily ascertain.